Hello, I'm Kev Murdoch from Euston Church in London, just south of that ugly train station that some of you may pass through on your way here. We're in the university area that's the home to UCL, a bunch of other colleges, and loads of halls of residence in the streets around us. Back in the noughties, our sending church, 3 miles east, was regularly getting students coming from university land. That was great. More than half an hour, though, on the bus. Over an hour if you'd checked the cost of a tube ticket and decided to walk it. So someone at the sending church had the bright idea that we should plant where the students and their buddies actually lived. Hence, Euston Church was born 15 years ago. And praise God, we've been able to reach many more in that local community who didn't otherwise have a gospel church right on their doorstep. People like Elizabeth, who started coming because she lived literally next door to the building. George, he was flyered by one of our team outside. The way George describes it is that someone from Euston Church jumped out from behind a booth looking terrified, chucked an invite into his hand and ran away. George still came, amazingly, came to a clear faith. Natalie, she checked us out because she felt that at her age, she really should know what she thinks about the Bible. We baptized her last September. When I was first getting to know the other ministers in the area, one of them called Pascal told me in no uncertain terms that we weren't the first church plant in the Euston area. His church was the first one 200 years ago. Pascal's church was planted bang next to the train station in the era when the railways were really taking off. His church was originally called a Chapel of Ease. You heard of those? Not a chapel of rest, that's something different. A chapel of ease was an offshoot of a more established church, but easier for the locals to access than the big church, which might be some distance away. A mission hall, basically. And praise God, Pascal's church was able to start reaching that budding railway community, which didn't otherwise have a gospel church on their doorstep. Evangelism through church planting. It's not rocket science, is it? It's not even Google Maps. It's go for a walk, get on a bus, drive a few miles north, south, east, west of where your church meets. Could we make it easier for the people in those places to hear the name of Jesus? The case for evangelism through church planting is actually as old as the Great Commission itself. Very first word, command word of that commission, go. Yeah, make disciples, baptize them, teach, do the church stuff, but go and do it. Because go expresses the heartbeat of God, who didn't wait for us to first come and find him. Every church was a plant once. Pascal put me right on that. Planting's not a 21st century thing or a young people thing or a city's thing. My in-laws are part of a plant out in the Cotswolds rather than winding down into a quiet retirement. Them and a team have revived one of the dead village churches. Next village along from Jeremy Clarkson's new pub, actually. So father-in-law was there on opening day, inviting Clarkson to a carol service. And they're reaching people who wouldn't have ever travelled or felt a connection with the sending church. My own dad lives on a new build housing estate in Northampton, next to the football stadium there. 20-year-old estate, 10,000 population, no gospel community, till 2 years ago when one of the churches in the town sent 30 to plant into the primary school that's at the heart of that estate. I walked up to the church there one Sunday last summer. The flats around there are not beautiful, to be honest, but it was a beautiful sight, seeing individuals coming out of flats, families coming out of their houses, walking in every direction to this school. Much easier for them to hear about Jesus now. Evangelism through church planting, it really isn't rocket science, and I don't say that flippantly. Obviously, there's loads more to discuss about finances, governance, the venue's roller coaster, how and when and who and where. I don't know. The why is clear, though. Jesus says, go. Confessions of a church planter. I've only ever been part of one. Euston Church hasn't planted another proper separate church yet, so hypocrite over here, eh? It can be very guilt-inducing, this church-planting wave. And it can be humble brag-inducing as well, can't it? So our last plant was very challenging. That's the fifth one we've done, just to be clear, not the fourth one that I'm talking about. Actually, the main thing that we're trying to focus on is just keep our heads looking out the window. That's the basic challenge of church life, isn't it? And steps towards go. So a few things, they might be helpful in your context. How about praying for your church's involvement in planting when there's nothing particular on the cards? Sometimes we only start to pray when we want God to bless our idea. Antioch Church in Acts, they seemed to have been prayerfully waiting on the Lord already before they had the prompt to send Paul and Barnabas out. Pray for a plant that is happening in your region. They'll be blessed by your prayers. Your church will be envisioned by their stories. Spend a year of Sundays teaching through Acts. It's about right for a year of half a chapter a week. See if you're not more go-minded then. Could make it easier by starting a new work in your current building at a different time or a different language, Mandarin in our case. Easier doesn't always have to mean different geographical place. How about map your area? What's changed recently? Where are the gaps in gospel witness? Where do the people in your church family live? Where and when would they be willing to go? Send some to another church's new plant if they happen to live near it. Doesn't have to be our thing. Partner with another church in planting together. We're trying to do that at the moment. How about plant a church? It's not the glamour option. So Jeremy and Dawn and a small team have just planted into a formerly closed church building in Ponder's End. It's a forgotten corner of North London. They'd barely started when the church had a break-in. Someone stole the lid of the baptism font, which is not an insubstantial piece of kit, and they smashed it through the window of the working men's club across the road from the church. First thing Jeremy knew of it was when the chairman of the working men's club shows up at his door with the font lid, says, "I think this belongs to you. Welcome to Ponder's End." Well, they're reaching new people, though. Hope for Ponder's End. Because a few ordinary disciples took seriously the call to go. Some churches that are planted have long-term opposition to them as a big part of their story in the local area. And all the usual highs and lows of church life happen in plants as well. It can, though, just feel particularly fragile when this is the first time ever in this church that a marriage has failed. Or a young person died. Some plants don't work out. Have we got a big enough Jesus to cope with that? He doesn't just say, go. He says he already has authority in all the places we might want to pioneer into. And that he'll always be with us. Do you know, our experience truly has been that when you dive into planting, Jesus mission directs. Jesus organizes the details. And Jesus reaches the lost in ways that we hadn't ever strategized for or imagined. Plenty of fear around planting, let's be honest. Evangelism inertia, change inertia generally. Genuine tension between reaching out and building up the existing church. Stretch is everyone planting. But stretch is good spiritually, isn't it? Maybe we need less fear and more FOMO. Fear of missing out on an adventure of faith. Thanks for listening.